Latino immigration is helping to shape and reshape many communities across Iowa, most noticeably over the past couple of decades. But immigrants from Mexico and other Spanish-speaking countries have been coming to Iowa for more than a century. My guest now is Dr. Omar Valerio Jimenez, an associate professor of history at the University of Iowa. He'll be speaking tonight as part of a lecture series on race and gender hosted by Mount Mercy University. Good morning.
Good morning.
So your lecture is called The Latino Experience in Iowa. And I want to start there because really there are many Latino experiences, aren't there?
Correct. Many people sometimes assume that that most Latinos are Mexican, and that's not necessarily it's based on historical trends, which is that basically Mexicans have been the largest Latino population in the U.S. Since the mid-19th century. But, you know, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how, you know, there's Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Central Americans, South Americans, and so forth, and then talk about some of the contributions that Latinos have made to the state.
Right. And so Latino immigrants have come from many places. And for a long time, when did Iowa first start seeing its first wave of Latino immigration?
They started in the 1880s, mainly because they were being recruited here as agricultural workers, for the sugar beet industry. And then later, the railroad industry also started recruiting them. And initially, it was mainly men, single men, or at least unattached men in terms of they were coming without their families. And that was sort of on purpose. The employers, the sugar beet industries companies, wanted to recruit single men because they wanted to pay them lower wages so they wouldn't have to, you know, they wouldn't have to pay them to support a family. And they also wanted to make sure that the men didn't stay in the communities, that they went home after the harvest. And then in the 1920s, this recruitment strategy changed, and a few sugar companies started recruiting families, partly because they realized that unattached men were less stable, that they were moved around a lot, that they would quit jobs and moved on to other jobs. And so they started recruiting families. That's when you see the development of ethnic enclaves.
What's different today about today's Latino immigrants?
Well, you know, partly it's the diversity that they're not just all coming from Mexico. But I think one of the things that's different today is also that you might have not only a diversity in terms of where the Latinos are coming from, but also a diversity in terms of class. In their late 19th and early 20th century, you mainly had poorer immigrants, working class immigrants coming to the Midwest. And now you have, you know, middle class immigrants, you have professionals, you have elites arriving.
We've talked a lot about the diversity within the Latino population itself, but when you're trying to sort of sum up the Latino experience, are there some common themes?
Sure. I mean, I think that one of the things that sometimes people forget when we're talking about, for instance, immigration reform, is that some of the things that have occurred in the past are just repeating themselves. European immigrants came to this country seeking a better life, seeking a better opportunity for their children, seeking better educational opportunities. And Latinos are doing the same thing. They're just they're just more recent immigrants in some cases. Some of the immigration reform proposals that are on the table today have also been repeated. I mean, you know, a path to citizenship, a legalization of people who are in this country illegally, and having them providing a way for them to become legal. That's happened before. It's happened in the 1930s and 40s with European immigrants. It happened in 1986 with the IRCA law that Reagan passed, and it's being proposed today as well. The guest worker program, another thing that's being repeated. The Bracero program was established in 1942. It continued until the 1960s. This brought Mexican guest workers to work in agriculture mainly, and sometimes in railroad maintenance. This is another proposal that's on the table. So I think that many of the things that we're seeing today have occurred before, and my hope and the hope of a lot of people that are immigrant rights activists and in favor of immigration reform is that some of the problems that some of these laws had in the past won't be repeated. With the guest worker program, for example, the guest workers were promised certain things, but they weren't necessarily enforced. So hopefully these new laws will have better enforcement procedures.
Dr. Omar Valerio Jimenez, thank you for your time.
Thank you.